You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, man, what's it like to have a parade in your town? If you miss it, you're going to hear from a guy in Philly in the 6 o'clock hour because they're going to have one on Friday, you know? But your jacklegs climbing up on poles and breaking cars and all that stuff. And But I mean, I don't know what we would do here in Atlanta. I'd like to think that, you think we'd lose our minds, by the way? You think it would be like a complete, like, just disaster? I think no. I think we wouldn't do like what some other cities do. I never understood why you go wreck stuff when you win.
No, Atlanta, Mike, Atlanta has what everybody needs after a victory like that.
Right.
The cheetah.
Thank you. And Magic City. And everything else to do there. So I digress. Hey, it is the 5 o'clock hour on Duke's Bell. We like to start off every hour of the show with,
Hey, man.
Carl is banged up today. I believe he'll be back tomorrow. Chris is in for Carl today, Chris Thomas. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, guys. B-dubs. Don't forget, guys, if you can't make it to B-dubs, you can get it to go. Order Buffalo Wild Wings Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event. We were talking a lot about what the Eagles have got and what the Chiefs have got. As we said yesterday, Carl, if you missed our conversation, Chiefs aren't going anywhere, guys. They got to beef up the offensive line, okay? It was a bad matchup. They were living dangerously much of the year in the AFC, and the Eagles just destroyed them, you know? But if you want to be a team that beats the Chiefs, you know, with that banged up offensive line, if you're Buffalo, you got to be better at it. Ravens, that goes for you too.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs scored their first 30-point game of the season against Buffalo. That's the problem, Mike right. Bell. When you let things up like that and you have the type of season that the Chiefs had, you look at the situation and you say, wait, Mahomes is only 29 years old and you're telling me that he's done? No, Mike, listen. Brady, we talked about it at Twin Peaks the other day. Brady had a stretch where he only made the Super Bowl once in a decade. That's the thing. So you're looking at a situation where Pat Mahomes is going to play till he's what? 37, 38 at minimum? Right. He's got plenty of time. But I will say this. You're right. If they don't fix that offensive line, he's going to need to take about a year off because they're going to get him killed.
You got that right. But the big argument or the big discussion today is, can we fix this Falcons defense? Falcon Report, guys, brought to you by MD Anderson Cancer Centers. And we've talked a lot about today, the depth chart and who's going to be available. You know, there's not a great free agency class, guys. If you look at it, the most compelling name is Khalil Mack, who may retire.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just really thin. I mean, there's a couple of corners. There's basically one that's going to be really expensive, and then there's some cheaper options. But I don't know what our free agency situation or how we're going to balance the big hit from Kirk Cousins, which it is. There's no way to get around it. And maybe find the things you need, even with the cap going up about 8%.
Well, here's the thing. At least the Falcons were preparing already like Kirk's number was going to be there next year. Because nobody could have predicted that this was going to happen.
That is a convenient narrative.
So, but it's true. Like, at least they're saying, like, this hit's going to come to us, but it's not an unexpected hit in the sense of that the money wasn't accounted for. It's just how it's being distributed. It's now going into a black hole instead of into your QB1, which is a bad look.
Right.
But what are you supposed to do when your quarterback goes on national television and does what he does? You're left up the creek.
He's gone. He's gone, guys. So, again, we appreciate all your creative trades and all the different things your guys are coming up with.
My goodness.
By the way, you know, Carl makes fun of me when I do this because I do a lot of mock drafts, and I use, like, there's the Draft Network and there's PFF and there's all these different websites. But nobody has the same stuff. There's really, you can go and do a mock draft, and the valuations are so far off another. This is after the combine. You guys, you got to wait for, if you're doing this now, I know it's fun, names you recognize, but you got to wait for the combine, the pro days, you know, somebody to find a gun in somebody's carry-on or fail a drug test or something, which will bring a guy down to where we're picking. But until that all happens, that's always one of my things. I wish the NFL Network would just come up with their own website. We could go by their stuff, like their information. But anyway, there's a lot of mock drafts that have Mykal Williams maybe gone by the time we pick. Jalen Walker could be there. Depends all, again, what if he kills it in the combine as well and blows doors? Then maybe two Georgia Bulldogs are out of our range because we have no juice to move up. We're down a couple of picks this year.
Then you better take the third best guy that's there, Mike. That's how I'm looking at this situation. Because if those two guys are gone, fine. Maybe it's Green who flashed at the Senior Bowl. There's a couple other guys that are listed right now, hot commodities out of Texas A&M, and names that Mike just said that you'll start becoming more familiar with as we get closer to the draft. But at the same time, Mike, the Falcons have one goal: to make their defense not just better,
right,
significantly better. It doesn't just need to be kind of sort of better. It needs to go from a weakness to, at minimum, neutral. You want to go to a positive, which would be, I think, maybe a little pie in the sky thinking because they have a lot of work to do. But at least make it a unit that doesn't cost you the way that it did the last 3 years.
By the way, we had a mock draft from NFL Network that had a guy named Donovan Ezeraku. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly because I didn't get the phonetics.
Ezeraku.
He had 16 and a half sacks last year for Boston College.
Wow.
Now,
never heard of him, to quote our buddy Carl Deuce.
He had 3 and 21. He had 8.5 and 22. He played all 13 games in 23, had 2 sacks that year. And then this year he exploded. 21 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks. Now, I know this, as we said, way, way, way too early to be doing all this, but I drew this name out, and Chris laughed, and I said, no, it would be so Falcony to take this guy over a Georgia Bulldog, but this is a guy, for what it's worth, kind of Vic Beasley-like numbers, at least. You know, Vic, I think Vic had something closer to 40 sacks in his total career in Clemson, but just a name. And my buddy Sean, now, Sean, please give me the phonetics on this. I've been probably butchering this guy's name. He said the guy really popped this year, but he's short, for edge rushers, 6'2".
I mean, no.
It's just a name, guys.
No.
That's what I just don't. Now you're over here.
No.
So in this mock draft, it was, again, Chad Reuter, who you've heard on Dukes and Bell before, has Mykal Williams. Actually, two dogs going back-to-back. The Chargers taking Malachi Starks, and then Mykal Williams going to the Packers. Again, a team that doesn't have an aversion to drafting Georgia Bulldogs. The Eagles, the Packers, SEC players, you know. We've seen it happen. It's a good thing. You should do it.
But here's the thing, Mike. If the Falcons were going to do that, then just take Malachi Starks and have one of the best safety duos in the NFL. Because, like, if you're going to take another unknown Rukurororo,
right,
where are you putting yourself? You're putting yourself behind the eight ball again.
You've got to find the best hit-the-ground-running piece. No projects, no time for that. You need to have, I mean, some guys feel that Jalen Walker, it's early, as we said, all of those things I just mentioned will come to be, the combine, the pro days, et cetera, the different evaluations. But a lot of folks feel Jalen Walker maybe has a higher side than, higher upside, I should say, than Mykal Williams. I would just go with Mykal Williams. Some mock drafts have him going way before us, and it's not even a concern. You're not even going to get there. In the second round, Chad Reuter, in case you're interested, Trey Amos, a corner for the from the Rebels of Ole Miss.
At least it's the right position.
Right, makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't, you know, I'm not too familiar with his game. I haven't crunched the tape on Mr. Amos yet, but, you know, at least, again, it's from a big school, big name, and a guy that you figure would be able to come in. If you take a guy in the second round that's a corner,
right,
you expect him to start, Mike.
Cool name, Siobhan Revel. Or maybe Siobhan Revel from East Carolina. He's also a guy that's in that range where we're picking. But, again, got to wait for the combine, guys. I'm just throwing some names at you just so when I mention the guy from Boston College, some of you could scream at your radio.
Well, and here's the thing, Mike. When it comes down to it, you need to do something that's going to make this fan base not excited, easy. Easy, comfortable, calm, not up in arms about the pick. Because you had last year guys that we talked about for weeks. We had everybody on from your Daniel Jeremiahs to your Dane Bruglers from The Athletic. They all come on and they all talk about the big guys.
Right.
And then you take Rucarororo instead of Cooper DeJean. And it just comes with giant egg on your face now because he's the superhero of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because he has the pick six. And that guy was just sitting there prime for the taking, which, Mike, I give you credit, you always point to the wacky and draft style that Terry Fontenot seems to go with.
Look, we have no problem with Clemson guys, and certainly Grady Jarrett panned out, but Rook was not projected to go where he went, and we moved up to get him. Now, again, if he turns into the next Aaron Donald or even better, okay. But last year he played in eight games. He was banged up to start and did not have the impact. I don't have room for this. I don't have time for this monkey business of, a project. Just like, taking Troy Anderson. I know I had the same rant yesterday with Carl. You know where I stand on this. Just go with the guy from Oklahoma who's got 30 sacks right now, is part of that no-name defense. You don't even know who he is. Nick Benito plays for Denver. So that's where I get a little crazy because we get a little too cute when we get into the money-making rounds. And the second round's been, and this goes back to Dimitroff and beyond. We just PIZZOA second round picks that don't do anything.
No, and Richie Grant is unfortunately the latest guy who, as we mentioned, I don't think he's going to be back next year. Again, I think that's going to be a position where you're going to need a new starter. You look at all three levels of this defense, and you need at least one starter. And that's not a good position to be in when you're down draft picks, Mike. It's just not.
Right. We talked about one minor move for the roster. Picked up a former Auburn Tiger lineman. I presume it's Killian Zaire. He's originally from Germany.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Junior college, and he played 2 years at Auburn. Then he played 2 years, last two, on the practice squad for the Texans. Sometimes those guys can pan out. Sometimes they're just bodies, and maybe he gets cut before the season starts, whatever. Either way, some depth on the O-line. Waiting to see, you know, what they're going to do with the free agency. One thing for certain, the cap did go up. It did go up a little. I mean, I presume they've budgeted for where it's going to be. And then you just said it. They've already on the books. Kirk was on the books. And Judon was always a one-year rental. So if you believe that the guys at Flowery Branch have a plan, but I just don't know who you're going to bring in free agency based on what a mediocre class it is for defensive line.
It's going to be a guy that you've heard of that's kind of on the backside of his career. Oh, wait, like a Matthew Judon? Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, they just tried this last year and it didn't work. As a matter of fact, it spectacularly blew up in their face. To their credit, we always said we like the swing.
Right.
But when you swing and miss epically on two players that you're supposed to be, like, that's what talent evaluation on your staff is for. It's not only for guys that are coming up in the draft. It's all year round to monitor other guys in the league that you think might become available and if they're past their prime or not. That's what makes good general managing in the NFL is your ability to have foresight on those things. And Terry, unfortunately, last year, Mike, that's a big 0-2.
Josh Sweat's going to be a free agent unless he gets franchised by the Eagles. You think the Eagles let him go with all the young talent? He's 27. He could have been the MVP.
It's just a matter of if they can afford it.
That's where it's at. But he would be a guy that would command, obviously, maybe more money than we'd be willing to spend. A backup or a depth guy is Milton Williams
from
the Eagles.
Now, that's the guy, because he had a great game in the Super Bowl. That's the guy you want to keep your eye on.
Zach Bond, also from the Eagles. The Eagles got all these guys they can't keep.
Yeah, because he's going to have a huge payday, too. He came in, and he's an all-pro.
So are you cool with better late than never on Howie Roseman's guys?
Well, you know what, Mike? They just won the Super Bowl. So you know what? I'll take a guy with some pedigree over a guy in Troy Anderson who can't stay healthy.
Charvarius Ward for corner. That seems to be in our price range for a defensive back from the 49ers.
Yeah, again, that's more of the same.
Carlton Davis.
Nah, he's passes.
DJ Reed's too expensive.
He's going to be the number one.
That's going to be some big money. Yeah. By the way, Pete Prisco from CBS Sports says Drew Dahlman is going to be a guy that we're going to have to spend some money on.
No.
All right, then. See what happens. He says an active market.
Dude can't snap the ball, Mike.
Technically, you're right. You're not lying, Chris. This hour of Dukes and Bell with Chris, we got plenty more to get into, including at 5:40, Grant McCauley. He's down at Northport. Guess who was swinging the bat and hitting the ball very far? Acuna for life.
Yeah.
As my compadre would say. Up next, though, the Hawks. Can you make it four in a row? Hey, man. Trey and company up at the Garden. We'll talk about it next. Hey, man, the Hawks in action tonight. It's weird, an 8-game losing streak, dealing with the injuries, and then the trade deadline comes, and then all of a sudden the other guys start making plays. And the bench even losing guys last night or two nights ago down in Orlando with Larry Nance Jr. going out, and then Vete Krejci went out as well, dropped on his back. So they'll be out tonight for the Garden. They will get some extra time with the All-Star break to heal up, Chris. But the Knicks did beat the Pacers last night. Not a great night for Jalen Brunson, but I hope it doesn't get good against us tonight at the Garden.
Well, Cat had 40. And then Josh Hart dropped 30. So they were plenty good without Mr. Yeah. Brunson for once. I think this is going to be a very intriguing matchup because both teams, this is stating the obvious, want to go into the All-Star break feeling good about themselves. You can argue the Hawks could anyway, even if they drop this one. But Trae Young just has a knack for showing out at that place, Mike. It's just something special when he plays there. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for, 35-10?
Right. I mean, Trey always loves the big stage of the Garden. We know that. And, you know, we talked about the Magic game. It's always, you know, when do you have your points? When does it matter? Getting the flow of the game. Trey started making things happen at the end of the game. He was really struggling with the three-point shot. He had 9 turnovers or 8 turnovers against the Magic. But when it mattered most, as Carl, my partner's absence, used a Dukesism, nut cutting time. Trey was able to step up. But the other guys, you know, they really are. You know, it's a pleasant surprise. And, you know, was it last week when we heard the news about the trade? I'm like, Terrence, man. What has he done since he left Florida State? But he looks like a nice piece. We've got good bench depth. It is the ultimate irony that you wish you had your full roster with this bench depth, and you'd say that's a nice little package. No, don't know what we're going to do. We got to wait. Guys, we'll wait till the offseason to see what they're going to do. Look, if they don't do anything bigger, we can't get an all-star in here with that money to spend with the cap space. We can get after it. But right now, I'm curious to see if this team, who certainly, Chris, has got a really good chance of getting into the top six right now.
Yeah, right now, Milwaukee's only 2 games ahead of you at 5 in the win column. They're 4 games in the loss column.
Without Giannis.
Yeah, and who knows when he's going to be back? And between him and Anthony Davis, there's a lot of big men that are hurt right now, and you got to take advantage of that. And if they don't, then frankly, they don't deserve it. And I am not using the injuries as an excuse, because you have to. Again, Mike, we knew when Steve Koonin came on and said it, you can't punt on a season when you don't have your own first-round draft pick.
Right.
You can't do it. So they have to play. And they made moves that were going to keep them in contention. And listen, if George Niang is going to be a three-point shooter like that, giddy up. I mean, I'm telling you, like, there's no reason to believe. Now, let's not get ahead of our skis here and say that they can make another Eastern Conference Finals run. Nobody's saying that. But if you can salvage a near 500 record at the end of the season, which would be good for you, by the way.
Yes, it would. If I take the bait and bet the over-under, which will probably be at 38.5 if they beat the Knicks tonight.
Yeah, and then so if you're able to get there and get past the play-in tournament round, I think you ultimately have to consider that a success.
Right. The Heat, we mentioned, you just touched on it. No Giannis, Butler. There's a lot of teams that are there. I mean, if you can do it. It would be one of the craziest darn stories, and it would certainly help to improve Trey's, you know, perception around the league. Like, I don't care about what other coaches, but it seems ridiculous that, you know, Trey can't get the juice. But as we talked about yesterday, who did we have on? Who's the NBA insider we had on from the Action Network?
Oh, yeah, Matt Moore.
Matt was saying, look, you don't win enough games for Trey to get that respect around the league. Even though we know why Trey can't win more, because ownership does dumb things and puts teams together that aren't going to go anywhere. And then, you know, in this case, it was the great do I, don't I? Because DeAndre Hunter has been a disaster as a fourth overall pick, and then this year you finally get some juice from him, you move him while you can. Did you get enough for him based on what these guys are doing right now, if this is going to be what their new normal is?
I think using hindsight, yes. I think in the moment you probably shrugged your shoulders a little bit.
I'm guilty as charged,
yeah,
I did.
But if these guys can contribute, if LeVert, who gave you, 18 the other night?
Right.
I mean, if that's what he's going to be able to do, then I mean, there's your DeAndre production right there, and you get a good three-point shooter in Niang as well. So, listen, we all know what the end game is here, Mike. It's the offseason.
Right.
That's the end.
I mean, if Caris LeVert, who for the season was averaging 10 points a game, and again, what was his minutes? I'm looking at it right now. He was averaging, it was 23. It's about the same as, a little bit less than what DeAndre was getting per game.
Yeah. So
with Cleveland.
You take those pieces, you put it all together, and then you get a team that I think if they can finish 500, I think that's a success. But that's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is Ken Landry Fields and Trae Young and Kyle Korver and everybody else in that office and anybody with the last name Wrestler put their chips into the table, go all in, and get that piece that's been eluding them since 2021.
Yeah, to me, he's got a handle on these guys, and certainly the players' young development, the way that Jalen Johnson was and what he was getting out of DeAndre Hunter. Now, we got to wait till next year. The other thing is, how do we know that Jalen's not going to be this guy his whole career? Hope, knock wood, I hope not.
You got to just cross your fingers.
That he can stay out. Because this was the year, I think, Carl and I, we all mostly agreed, this is the year he could elevate to being that all-star level player.
And he did.
Until he got hurt,
yeah.
Right. But now, because of the muddled mess Chris just talked about in the Eastern Conference, certainly you got a puncher's chance. You got a superstar in Trey, and I think Reese Hoshea has shown you enough, you know, bursts of and he's a rookie. There's good nights and bad nights. That comes with the territory. But I think Reese Hoshea looks like he belongs.
Yeah, he's going to give you anywhere between 12 and 18 points a night, which on the high end is really good. And then, Mike, if you can combine that with a Caris LeVert giving you 15 off the bench, then you're cooking. Then you basically haven't lost anything.
So again, 2 wins and 4 losses, as Chris said, separating them from the 5 seed. And that's, you're locked in. They wouldn't have to worry about monkeying around with the play-in games and all that. Wouldn't that be nice for a change after like 3 years? Then, of course, 3 games, as you mentioned, to start the second half. Is that, we haven't played Orlando all year now. We're going to play them twice in a week.
Yeah, so it's Orlando. So it's a 3-game home stretch, Orlando, Detroit, Miami. You can win 2 out of 3 of those.
Right on.
Why not?
I like it. Hey, man, Hawks fever.
Catch it.
Hey, a couple guys hit us up on the text line, and you can always reach out at 404-726-0929 about the free agents we were talking about. And some guys, again, Maybe they took more time than you and I have, Chris. They're amateur Falcons capologists. This is from Jimmy. He says, as Chris says, the Falcons budgeted for Cousins' contract, whether he's here or not. Okay, well, go get Josh Sweat then, and let's go get an edge rusher.
Well, right.
And what does Josh Sweat do here when he's playing with talent that's not even remotely as good as he played with the Eagles?
Well, then you hope that he gets double-teamed and somebody, Arnold Ebukadi, can get 10 sacks.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
That would be the game plan.
That's a problem solved. Other guys are saying, you know, what about, you know, getting some of those corners you mentioned? Look, if we got the money. There's basically two levels of corners in free agency. Same thing goes in the draft this year. This is a really good draft for defensive line. If you go corner in the second round, you're going to take your lumps with somebody and hope that he becomes the guy. Last year was the second round to go. There was really two tiers for corner. Eagles got both, Quinyon Mitchell, and they got Cooper DeJean.
Right. And then here's the thing, too. You're $11 million over the cap right now. That's where you're starting.
Well, that gets back
That's where you're starting.
A couple of guys, and this is from Jim. He says, what is your compulsion to get Grady Jarrett?
Compulsion.
It's not a compulsion. See, this is where I say, I say something, it goes out of my mouth, into the microphone, up to the antenna, out of your car speaker. You're like, I hate Grady. No, I did not say that. We love Grady. He's the heart and soul of this team. But where he's making the money with the production, it's hard to gauge what you're getting in the interior when some guys, we've talked about in NFL insiders, feel that Grady needs that bigger body next to him to truly and is better served, as I said 3 years ago, in a 4-3. Than this base defense.
Well, but either way, he's not a nose tackle. He never was. He never will be.
And so just that, I'm just saying, could you take some money there? Could you cut Onyemata? Would you be willing to trade Algier if there's whatever the market is for Algier and hope that you find another running back down the road? Look, I get it. In a perfect world, you keep Algier and you've got your own Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery thing that the Lions have. But we're just trying to come up with some ideas to improve this defense.
Yeah, because they're going to need to get creative, guys. Some of your fan favorites might not be here next year, as Mike was just saying. I don't know if it's going to be Grady Jarrett necessarily, but...
See, now, you see, this is what happens.
No.
See, this is what happens.
Oh, no.
Schleprock there behind the glass. He takes it, and then he takes it out of context. And then what happens?
I hate Grady.
And then next week, I'll be at some charity event. I'll see Grady's mom, and she'll swing her purse at me. Because of this, because of what you just did.
I hate Grady.
No, I love Grady. Don't do this, okay? This is bad. You saw it, was it 2 years ago? I go, hey, Grady, how you doing? I ain't talking to you. Okay, Grady.
See ya.
So this is how it starts. All I'm saying is
I hate Grady.
He was better served in a 4-3, and I don't think he's been as successful in this in the different versions of the defense since Quinn left.
No, I still think he's going to be a valuable piece of the defense, but again... When it comes down to, again, not cutting time, to quote our friend Carl Dukes, these are the decisions that the what are they doing? If you want to know what they're doing right now up there, Flowey Branch, this. Right. This is what they're talking about. Who can we keep? Who's disposable? What do we need to bring in? What costs? How much allocation do we have to each position? This is what they're doing, guys. And for better or for worse, they're going to make some tough choices.
Thank you.
I hate Grady.
Now, again, that has been doctored. It's what you hear. You better stop playing that. You know, I'm gonna. A guy we used to work with at the old station. I'm gonna come in there and delete that out of the hard drive. I'm not naming names, Chris. I worked with a guy once who said definitively when Georgia Tech went down to Jordan Hare, it comes down to one simple thing. Tech can't block Auburn. And, of course, Tech went on to win that game and then eventually tried to get it destroyed from the computer. What kind of ego would do that? What kind of crazy person would do that kind of stuff?
Well, I can think of a few people.
I'm just saying, you got to live and die with your comments. But I will not accept doctored audio, okay?
Hate Grady.
Yeah, see, that I did not say that. The guy's the heart and soul of this team. I'd love to see him at the heart and soul of this team for 25% less money. All right, now, John Rocker, real quick. Right after we talked about it, I don't follow Portnoy, so I just saw it. Right about as we were talking about this dust-up, it wasn't a dust-up. Guys were just yelling at each other. John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr., Patrick Mahomes' dad, who, of course, played Major League Baseball for many years. Rocker and him have a beef. Even if they don't have a beef, they're going to beef. April 19th, they're going to fight in this Barstool event.
Yeah, rough and rowdy, and it's going to be a pay-per-view event. So what did they try to do? Draw up some nonsense.
Right, so they're creating some heat. So now Rocker's talking ish to Mahomes, and I'm going to kick your lanky butt and this and that. So, like John's perfectly cast for this kind of shenanigans. Hey, coming up next about players who are playing baseball, the Atlanta Braves. Pitchers and catchers, heck, everybody's down there. Got to see Jurickson Profar. More importantly, we got to see Ronald Acuna. Grant's right down there in the middle of it, our man in Northport. Grant McCauley comes up next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with Chris Thomas in for Carl today. It's just been kind of a bleh day. So let's get some sunshine in our lives and head on down 75 to Northport, Florida, where Grant McCauley is standing by. So, Grant, you provided great content. That is great. Loving the photos and the videos, seeing Acuna in the cage. And what's going on? I know it's supposed to be pitchers and catchers, but it looks like everybody's reported.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty full house for the Braves in their first day. I mean, you had a lot of position players. I mean, guys like Ronald Acuna Jr., who I think everybody's ready to see. He's been here for most of the week, and a lot of other position players, whether it's Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Michael Harris II, Jerks and Profar, newcomer in camp, and a lot of other position guys. They don't have to be here till the 18th, but you can tell they were kind of itching to get things started. It was a beautiful day. I'm sorry about the weather up there, but man, it was mid-70s and just glorious on the baseball field today. And after traveling an awful long way to get here, I'll take all the sunshine I can possibly get.
Grant, as we look towards pitchers and catchers, specifically the bullpen, I'd like to start with you. How do you think, without any additions obviously coming down the pike that we are not seeing right now, that they're going to cover the back end of the bullpen with guys like Joe Jimenez out for the season and asking maybe a guy like a Pierce Johnson or a Lee to step up into a new role?
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, the short answer for it, Chris, is that you need Pierce Johnson. He's also signed a multi-year contract at the same time that Joe Jimenez did the season before last, the winter before last, to be a big part of that bullpen. He's done it before. They're going to need him to do it again. Dylan Lee has been, I feel like, one of the kind of the under the radar relievers that you can, you know, if he's healthy, which he was last year, can make a big impact. And with no more AJ Minter in that bullpen mix, you need a lefty that can step in there. Now, obviously, they've got Aaron Bummer as well. He's a veteran who's, you know, given the Braves some, I think can give the Braves some more important innings than perhaps he did a season ago. And they're going to need him to. But with Raisel Iglesias holding down the ninth inning duties, there's still, I think, enough pieces in that bullpen. Depending on how things shake out, I'm interested in where Grant Holmes ultimately ends up. He'll get the opportunity to stretch out as a starter, but he showed that he could pitch multiple innings in relief and miss bats. That's pretty big, and there may be some non-roster guys that could end up factoring in, whether it's a veteran like Jake Diekman or somebody else, that could help round out this Braves bullpen and give you at least throw some quantity at it and hope that you get a little bit of quality in the process with some guys that have shown it before, or maybe somebody that just kind of steps up and takes a job. And I didn't mention Deisbel Hernandez. We've seen him the last couple of years. I think he's a sneaky important pitcher for the Braves in the bullpen this year.
It is our man Grant McCauley down there at spring training. How does Jurickson and Profar look like? And he's going to replicate those numbers he had this last year in San Diego.
That's certainly what the Braves are banking on, any and all, pun intended, and what they believe in when they saw him, that the changes that he made as a switch hitter who can pretty much bat anywhere in the lineup that they need him to, that he is who he showed last year going forward. And I think that this is exactly the kind of player that the Braves were looking for. I mean, we had to wait a long time for them to go out and actively, you know, improve the roster as far as the hot stove is concerned, but I think he'll fit nicely in left field. And Brian Snitker said today, I mean, he could look at him at leadoff with Ronald Acuna Jr. out for the first few weeks of the year. Then he could bat him second or really anywhere else in the lineup. And you really like that from a lineup construction standpoint. And to that end, I mean, talking to Matt Olson today, I asked him, you know, how big of a deal is it going to be to get Ronald Acuna Jr. back? And he said, I don't know that you can overstate it. He's one of the best players on the planet. He will change the dynamic for our lineup. But adding a guy like Profar, kind of the secondary point, gives a lot of guys the confidence that this is a lineup that 1 through 9 is going to get back to being the kind of productive unit it was in 2023. Whether or not it shatters any records, I don't know, but they all feel like, to a man, that they're a better group than they showed last year over the course of the year with injuries and down years and a lot of other things in the mix.
Are you surprised there wasn't an upgraded shortstop?
Not really. I'm not. And one of the things about shortstop, I feel like, that can kind of be put to the side, or maybe the position itself can be put to the side, if everything else is clicking the way it's supposed to. If you've got Ronald Acuna Jr. and Austin Riley both in the lineup and healthy all year long, Michael Harris missed a number of weeks, Sean Murphy missed 2 months, I mean, Ozzy Albies missed half the season. When you have those guys in there over the course of 162, you don't put as much pressure and ask as much out of a guy like Orlando Arcia, who, if he can come in and split the difference between 2023 and 24, you know, bat around 250, hit 15 to 20 home runs, and just play quality defense and bat ninth, that's a pretty solid player for you, and you're only paying him a couple of million dollars, so it kind of helps balance some other things out. So To answer the question as far as surprise, no. If there continues to be struggles, would I be surprised if they don't reevaluate it? Absolutely not. I think you can always find ways to get better, and if the Braves feel like that is ultimately a spot, they could make a move in season if they feel like there's somebody out there that could help them on the trade market.
It is G-Mac with this guy's best baseball man in town down there at the spring training in Northport on the WadeFord.com hotline. The catching position, you lose that leadership of Darnold and the clutch of Darnold. And I know that Murphy really struggled, man, down the stretch. Chadwick Tromp technically is the backup. Will we see Drake Baldwin this year?
I think that we could see Drake Baldwin, but it's not going to be something that you have to push early on. I'll say this, and I talked to the morning shift this morning and said, if we do see Drake Baldwin early in the season, that's going to mean that something probably went wrong somewhere else that the Braves didn't want to go wrong. But talk to Sean Murphy today, and he was just discussing, you know, what his season was last year. And even though he came back and the oblique was healthy, he never felt like his swing was right. And that may seem like an obvious statement because you look at the numbers and it was an incredibly down year for him. But the healthy offseason and getting a chance to get back in there and catch on a regular basis. That was the plan for the Braves a year ago, was for him to catch 3 out of every 4 games. That's the plan going into this year. He's a workhorse-style guy that likes to get those reps, likes to, you know, really kind of get in a rhythm and a groove of playing as much as you possibly can for a catcher. He will need some time, but he wants to be the guy more times than not that's going to be in harness for the Braves, and that's what they want and what they need from him, quite obviously and honestly. And if he can do the things that he did prior to this lost season of 2024, he's still a very important piece of this Braves club. He's under contract for a number of more years, and I think he could show again, when healthy, that he's one of the better catchers in not just the National League, but maybe all of baseball.
Grant, last time we talked to AA, he said that both Grant Holmes, who you mentioned earlier, and Ian Anderson going to get a shot at that fifth starter spot. How long of a leash do you believe that both of those guys will get in terms of number of starts before they would make a final decision? Or do you think this is something that could be potentially even go out to a 6-man rotation if both perform well?
I believe the 6-man rotation is something we're going to see again this year. I talked to Brian Snitker about it at the winter meetings, and he reiterated it when asked today. You know, when you think about it from the logistical standpoint, the extra rest that the Braves found last year helped Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez over the course of the long season. It could do that again. Now you factor in doing the same for Spencer Strider in his first year post-surgery. I just think there's way too many, you know, reasons to do it than to try to limit yourself to just the 5 starters. They're going to look at the schedule. They'll try to be smart about it and give guys extra rest throughout the course of the season. So the names may change, but a 6-man rotation, air quotes, is something I do expect the Braves to employ for the majority of the season. Now, specifically with Grant Holmes, I think he opened a lot of eyes last year. This is going to be a real opportunity for him to be one of those guys at the back end of the rotation. And we've talked about this before. Between Max Fried and Charlie Morton, you lost 60 starts and 340 innings. You're going to have to cover that. Grant Holmes may not be the only answer. Ian Anderson coming back, returning to form, would be huge for the Braves. He is out of options. That's something to watch. So he has to basically make the team or be exposed on waivers for some other club to pick him up. So this is a very big spring, to put it lightly, for Ian Anderson, who very much wants to get back to the big leagues and back on track after spending last year in the minors coming back from Tommy John surgery.
You mentioned Strider, Grant. I know Alex Anthopoulos was on with the Steakhouse, so I don't want to pin you down. Give me a specific date, but you think it'll be in May we'll see Strider?
I think that at the start of May, you should have a pretty good idea of when he's going to be back. And if all goes well, he doesn't have any limitations on him right now for spring training. He threw a bullpen yesterday. When we talked around the Profar signing, Alex Anthopoulos said he'd already thrown 4 bullpens and all the reports were great. He's feeling great. So I would imagine he's going to get the requisite number of innings he needs this spring, then go out on a rehab assignment so that he's able to get that 4, 5, 6 additional starts to have him ready for when the Braves truly need him. And if they've got things kind of settled as much as they need to, whether it's an Ian Anderson, an A.J. Smith-Shawver, or whoever it may be, Grant Holmes helping out in the rotation, then you're going to be happy to welcome back Spencer Strider and not feel like you got to rush him. And honestly, the Braves are not going to rush him, and they're not going to rush Ronald Acuna Jr. either. I think we see both of those guys in late April at the earliest, but probably early May.
Grant, side note here. Do you think what the Dodgers did this offseason is good for the sport?
I don't think it hurts the sport, to be honest with you, as much as the teams that are not motivated to go out and spend money. That, I think, the chasm between a club like the Dodgers is going to go out and do what they did, and clearly they're comfortable with it and the deferred money and everything that comes with it. But then you've got clubs like the Athletics and the Pirates and the Marlins who routinely, annually, and I know the Athletics spent a little bit of money because they were under some scrutiny this offseason, but they're not getting off the hook here. Those are clubs that are just taking their revenue sharing money and using it as a means to turn a profit and not putting that money back into their major league roster. And that kind of thing, I think, is worse for the game than the Dodgers going out and going on a spending spree, which, you know, asking a lot of different Braves, you know, around spring training today, what do they think of all this? And they said, look, I mean, teams are going to do what they're going to do. We're really happy with the club that we have. We feel like we're really good. And, you know, there's no award for the offseason. You got to go out and play the next 7 months, and we'll see what happens.
For what it's worth, the Braves are the third best odds right now to win the World Series. They got better odds than the Mets and the Phillies at 9.5-1. Speaking of the Mets, what took so long to get the Pete Alonso deal done? 2 years, $54
million. Man, I think he was just out there looking for that 5 or 6 year deal for that club that, you know, may feel like he was going to be able to make a bigger impact, I guess. I mean, Alex Bregman's still out there waiting for that deal. So there's been some questions about, you know, some of these free agents the last couple of years, especially the Boris guys, getting the deals that they want. But he showed again that Scott Boris, he'll take a short-term deal with an opt-out and try to turn it into bigger money. But when I look at Pete Alonso, and I know the power in the RBIs, the homers in the RBIs look great, he's not the same kind of player, for my money, that Freddie Freeman is or that Matt Olson is and some of these other first basemen that have really cashed in on those big deals. Doesn't mean he's not valuable, but I think his market is a little bit more niche because he's not able to give you defensively what those guys give you, and I don't think he's quite the same impact player all around.
That is great. GMAC is lukewarm on the polar bear that just happened. Grant, before we let you loose, so before March 1st, when do you think we'll see some new additions, all those things that Chris was asking about as far as the pitching?
Yeah, I'm really interested in watching the, you know, now the spring training is here, now the pitchers and catchers have reported, and there are a slew of names that are still out there unsigned that are going to be ready to get down to work. So I think that there could still be another bullpen addition or two if there's somebody out there. And we've seen at the end of spring training, Alex Anthopoulos has found some castoffs from other clubs that have been really helpful. Anibal Sanchez a few years ago, Matt Joyce a few years ago was also a nice little pickup for the Braves. So maybe that 25th, 26th man is out there. Maybe that fifth or sixth starter is sitting out there on somebody else's roster right now. And the Braves are just waiting to welcome him home, Jesse Chavez style.
All right, man. So, by the way, the Flaherty's, the Scherzer's, all that. I mean, I know Chris's, we've talked about it before. It just too high, even risky for Alex, who loves to shop with a Groupon when it comes to starting pitching.
I really think that, you know, especially with Scherzer, with his age, if you were to ask me who I would give, you know, 1 year and $10 or $15 million to, and you line up Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and Charlie Morton, I would have been inclined to give it to Charlie Morton. I know the Braves didn't do that either, but if I had a choice between the 340-somethings, I just think he's shown he can still go to the post 30 times and throw 160 innings. And the other two, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and they've been dealing with an awful lot the last couple of years. And, you know, Flaherty got himself a nice deal to go back to the Tigers and, you know, again, pitch for a year if he wants to there and opt out and try the market again. So I don't necessarily think the Braves wanted to spend all of the available funds that they had at the moment on one particular player, even one with a lot of name value in the case of those Hall of Fame guys, or in the case of a starter like Flaherty that had a really good year last year.
All right, man. Great stuff as always, Grant. So again, we'll be hearing you on all the day parts, right, from down there in spring training?
Yes, sir.
Our man. How's the weather, by the way?
The weather is beautiful, and I'm hoping it stays that way. I've looked at the forecast, and I head back on Saturday. Mm. The rain rolls in on Sunday. I couldn't have timed it any better.
Perfect. All right, man. Get some SPF 30 on that noggin. Have fun.
SPF 50 went on today. Thanks, guys.
Right on, man. Thanks, Grant. That's Grant McCauley from down there in Braves of Spring Training in Northport. It's Chris in for Carl today. This hour of the show brought to you by B-Dubs. A reminder, guys, B-Dubs, even if you're not going to stop in a restaurant, you can stop in and get it to go. Order Buffalo Wild Wings Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next big event. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about what's it like to have a championship NFL parade in your town.
Huh.
Someday. Also, though, some sad news. We were just talking about prop bets and the Hawks and feeling good. Some bad news coming down the pike on your Atlanta Hawks.
Say it ain't so.
I will explain coming up next.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.